Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Welcome one and all to episode 450 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor. And for this episode, I bring you an interview with John Karabi. This is the first time that I've had Karabi on the show. I know that a lot of people out there are interviewing him for like the millionth time. I'm just glad I got to interview him once. He's formed a huge part in the soundtrack of my life, and the interview is next.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
Quick reminder that in addition to hosting Signals from Mars, I've also worked behind the scenes helping other podcasters. With over 16 years of experience and more than 1,200 episodes that I've produced or appeared on, I offer podcasting editing, ghost hosting interviews, and repurposing content into viral clips, show notes, transcripts, and social media posts. If you've got a podcast and need help making it sound professional, or if you want to turn your episodes into content that actually grows your audience, I can help. Check out the podcasting services page over at signalsfrommars.com. Just go all the way to the right on the menu. You'll see work with me, hover over that, and you'll see podcast services and sponsorship. Let me help you make your podcast stand out. Speaking of sponsorships, Signals from Mars is sponsored by listeners like you and also by great sponsors. If you've got a brand, product, or service that connects with rock and metal fans, I'd love to work with you. Our audience isn't casual. They're collectors, concert goers, and gear buyers who support the bands and brands they love. Sponsorship packages start at just $150 a month and include on-air mentions, social media plugs, and even product features. If you want to connect with a loyal rock and metal audience, head on over to the sponsorship page on signalsfrommars.com to learn more. Quick shout out to all of my patrons. Let's go oldest to newest. Steven Saylor, Steve Hoker, Jeremy Weltman, Mike Jones, Brad Dahl, Mark Striegel, Gabriel Ruiz, Chris Vaglio, Metal Dan, Johan Edistrom, Ed Ferguson, Anthony Mackey, Tony Espin, and Sean Richmond. Thank you guys. I appreciate your support. If you want to keep up with all things Signals from Mars, just go to signalsfrommars.com to find out all past episodes of the show, whether that's audio or video version, and you'll find links to the Patreon. You could become a patron for as little as $2 a month and receive all of the perks like polls, questions, my Patreon exclusive podcast, the Victor M. Ruiz podcast, where I talk about stuff going on in my life, talk about behind the scenes stuff regarding interviews, music news, things of that nature. And yeah, so go to signalsfrommars.com to keep up with anything related to the show. Please help us get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Leave your comments on whatever podcasting platform that you use. And there's a million ways that you can support the show. Not a million, but you get what I mean. The easiest thing is to just like and share the episodes when I post them on social media. Tell all your friends about the episodes. And very important, tell the artists that you heard the interview and that you really enjoyed it. And tell them that you heard the interview here on Signals from Mars. That goes a long way with me booking artists over again and getting their PR people interested in throwing me a bone and sending me other artists as well. So what can I say that hasn't been said about Karabi before? Another shout out here. If you haven't checked out Chris Aiken's book, Cause and Effect, on the Motley Crue self-titled album, it is highly recommended. It is written from a fan point of view, and it is a very easy read. I suck at reading books, and I read this book in like a day, which is an anomaly for me. But man, that Motley Crue album means so much to me. I've listened to it so much since it came out. I've been a proponent of that album since day one. So many other things that John has done throughout the years. This new solo album is really cool. I think it's going to surprise people with how varied it is throughout, but it's strong throughout. The album will be coming out in April. There are some singles that have been released. Check them out. Listen to them on social media and pre-order the album. It's just that simple, folks. If you enjoy it, put money in their pockets. Let's get on with the episode. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. I am joined by, as he's anointed himself, Rock God.
It asked for a title. I'm like, I don't even know what to put in there. I could have went with Night Manager 7-Eleven, but whatever.
Either one would have worked. I'm sure nobody would have been mad. So, growing up in northern New Jersey, I've always felt that there's a certain attitude, swagger, work ethic from artists that come from Philly, New York, Boston. It seems like the Northeast just has something to it. Being someone that's from Philly, do you feel that that's appropriate, or do you notice a difference between the three?
No, I would say that's appropriate. I think more of it has to do with, parental upbringing. My dad was just like a workaholic. Even when he retired in late in life, I think he was home maybe a month and he goes, I can't do this anymore. So my family used to run a couple of different unions in the Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware area. And my dad, I think, was out of work. He retired. They gave him his watch, whatever. And he literally went home and watched TV for about 2.5-3 weeks and went, I'm coming back in, but only like 3 or 4 days a week. He couldn't sit still. So I think that's just, but those three cities, New York, there's Wall Street, but I think for the most part, New York, Boston, and Philly was like, it was just kind of a blue collar work ethic. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm smiling because my old man, exact same thing. And he's now 82. I think he got to 78, and said, yeah, I can't drive 3 hours every day anymore. And that's kind of what did him in, but same deal. He retired and a few days later called up and said, I got to work 3-4 days a week. So,
yeah, it's I remember as a kid, like you know, at one point my dad had a regular job, a 9-to-5, and then he worked like 3 nights a week from like 5 to whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he had a job on the weekend. So my dad had like, at one point had 3 jobs.
Right.
That he was, you know, and, you know, that's what I was raised with. And trust me, I'm just that type of person. Like, you know, if you tell me like this year, the Dead Daisies are like, hey, we're taking a year off. I'm like, okay, I can either literally sit home and watch, you know, for the next year TV, but also give myself liver damage and gain an extreme amount of weight just sitting around doing nothing.
Right.
Or I can put my time to good use and write and record a new record and just go out and tour and, you know, keep the torch burning. So I chose the latter.
Yeah. And that's funny because with you telling that story as well, it really, to me, seems like you've been able to extrapolate that to your life, because although maybe there hasn't been a new album every year or something like that, when's the last time you've actually stopped from touring, playing with other bands, guesting, doing this, doing that? You've always been busy for the most part.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, look, and if I can be honest, you know, I'm not, this isn't like a news flash, but you know, obviously, I've.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino. America's
social casino. You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Had some really great gigs in the past, you know, but unfortunately, due to the circumstances I was dealt, you know, I haven't really been a guy that's been able to kind of rest on my laurels and rest on the things that I've done in the past. So, like, to a degree, I kind of have to work. You know what I mean? Like I've got, you know, I've gathered some toys as I've gotten older. You know, my wife and I are blessed. We own our home. You know, but there's things, you know, just health insurance, life insurance. You know, I've got a couple motorcycles. I have a motorhome. I have a truck. You know, shit needs to be paid for. Right. So it's like, you know, I'm not in a position, you know, like, you know, whatever, Steven Tyler, Nikki Sixx, or one of those guys that I can go, you know, I'm going to take a few years off and just whatever. I wasn't able to get myself into that position. So part of it, I love doing what I do, but part of it too is, you know, I have to keep working if I want to pay, you know, my phone bill. Right. Whatever. It is what it is.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that's funny too, because I remember speaking to John Beauvoir years ago. He was in the Plasmatics. He co-wrote a bunch of stuff with Kiss. He talked to me about what success really means. And you're bringing up like Nikki Sixx, Steven Tyler, where people think about success from a monetary standpoint. But he talked to me about being successful, writing stuff for other people, producing stuff for other people. And he kind of said, you know what, as an artist, I'm cool with that. I don't need all these lavish things to feel like I'm successful.
Well, again, success is in the eyes of the beholder. You know what I mean? If you want to do a monetary thing, you know, am I successful? Probably not, you know, but on the flip side, I learned a very valuable lesson in Motley Crue. And that was, you know, when I was in the band, everybody wanted to be your friend. Everybody was giving you free guitars. Everybody wanted you to come to the Playboy Mansion, you know, yada, yada, yada. Then Vince comes back and it's like your phone ain't ringing.
Right.
And you start to realize that it's really more about counting the blessings that you do have.
Mm-hmm.
And I can sit here right now and tell you, like, this is my, this new record, New Day, is probably my 19th record.
Mm-hmm.
I've had 4 or 5 different record deals, all this other shit. But I know people that are a million times more talented than I am on guitar and vocals and as a songwriter. But for some reason, their cards didn't line up the same as mine. And they've never had a record deal.
Right.
So it's like, how do you want to look at it? If you look at it monetarily, you know, there's only a handful of people that are like Nicky and Steven Tyler and Mick Jagger and Robert Plant. Yeah. And then there, but there's a huge amount of people. For every guy like me, there's probably 100,000 that are way more talented that never, that could, for whatever their reasons were, whether it was by choice or luck, did not have the same opportunities I have.
Right.
And I had a friend of mine back in California, this friend of mine named Al Boyer. I was feeling a little down on my luck for a minute. And Al said, you know, the beauty of what you do for a living, he goes, as long as you're being given the opportunity to do a record,
mm-hmm.
there's always that chance that one song, all you need is one song to connect with the masses, and it's going to rewrite your entire life.
Right.
So, you know, each record I go into, you know, I look at it, I do my best, I work hard, I try to do the best lyrics and shit that I can, you know, but you just stay positive and you go, you know what, this is the one that's going to put me over the top.
Yeah.
So, and like he said, you only need one song and your life is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So I always just kind of looked at that and, you know, I always try to look at things in the most positive way possible. Hence the title of the record, hence the lyrics of the title track. You know what I mean? It's just about just getting up, working hard and staying positive and moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. One of the things that stood out from New Day right away was how diverse it is throughout the album. I mean, yeah, you could sit there and say, oh, okay, you know, I get this. This really connects with what you've done in the past, but you haven't tried to, like you said before, live off your laurels. You're doing something different here. Yeah, there's rock. There's other stuff in there. There's really some soul mixed in there. There's some funk mixed in there. And then there's like late 60s, like almost Creedence type rock going on in one of the tracks, which is, I mean, the whole album is that. It's an album. It's like a different picture with each track.
Well, and that to me, you know, I love that. I love, you know, even the nerdy, you know, even though I'm a musician, you know, the nerdy kid in me loves when I read that Led Zeppelin said, you know what? We're not putting out any singles.
Right.
You accept the album as an album and enjoy the album as an experience. Or, you know, fuck it, move along. Buy somebody else's record. They didn't give a shit. And the one thing that I wanted to do is kind of go back to the stuff that I grew up listening to. But the other thing that really, I, you know, without sounding weird or bitter or pissy, like, I hate the fact that as soon as an artist or a band puts out a single or an album, all the people at radio and the suits, I call them the suits, they immediately try to figure out what box it goes into. Right. Is this rock? Is it classic rock? Is it grunge rock? Is it, you know, college rock? Like, it's like, dude, stop with the fucking boxes. And like, again, without sounding redundant or without, sorry about the length of my answers, but to me, the greatest era of music is from when the Beatles did Rubber Soul to 1980.
Okay.
That 15 years of music will never be duplicated again. The amount of eclectic music that we had to listen to.
Yeah.
Everything from, you know, the Beatles, the Stones, the Who, but then you had Zeppelin, Hendrix, Janis Joplin, The Doors, Deep Purple, Yes, Jethro Tull, David Bowie, Alice Cooper, Grand Funk. It was just all over the place. And then you were just like, hey, dude, what are you into? Music. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not now. It's like, oh, I'm into grunge rock, or no, I'm into 80s rock, or you know, no, it was just, I like music.
Yeah.
So I just kind of wanted to get back into that. You know, if somebody wants to try and categorize my record, have at it. I'm not doing that. That, you know, I'll let you guys try and figure that out. But it's just like, I don't like the label thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even too, there's been some people have come in like, oh, there's actually a couple songs on your record that could be considered country. And I go, okay. They're like, oh, I see Nashville's rubbing off on you. I'm like, not really. You know what I mean? And if you sit there for an example, I go, so Rolling Stones didn't live in Nashville.
Yeah.
Yet the Rolling Stones in the, you know, back in their day, they wrote songs like Wild Horses, I'm Waiting on a Friend, Dead Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, if we looked at music the way we look at it now, those songs would be considered country songs.
Yeah.
And it's like, back then, that's what I loved. Those bands had the freedom to just be creative.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I achieved that or not on this record. That's what I wanted to do, like put the labels aside and just write a great record. I personally feel like we did it. You know, somebody else may disagree with me. Right. C'est la vie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ultimately, I mean, music is either good or bad. With all the labels and stuff, it's becoming more common. I'm noticing in interviews where I talk to a band and say, well, you know, what's the label that you hate that's most attached to you? And they'll say, you know, well,
Moro Casino. Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
I don't like this or that. We're just a rock band. We're just a this band, you know. We don't.
And you just said it. There's two labels in music. There's good music and bad music.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't like my music, then I guess I'm in the bad music category. If you love my music, then it's in the good music category. That's how it should be to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm all about that label, good or bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, I mean, I grew up in an era where, like you're saying, where you bought an album and the album was a journey. Each song, as I'm saying with your album, each song was different. It wasn't, well, we've got this one hit and we're going to have a B version, C version, D version, because we can just pump that out. So we're just going to try to regurgitate that same hit we had years ago, where this.
And again, that's why, like, listen, there was really great music after 1980 as well.
Right.
So I'm just saying, though, that's when that whole formula thing started to come into play.
Yeah.
And, you know, where bands like, you know, I'm trying to think of one offhand, but, you know, your Def Leppards or Bon Jovi's or, you know, all these guys that had massive amounts of success. I'm sure they got shit when they were like, oh, hey, we want to try and do. No.
Yeah.
Your last record did this, you know, let's just stick with the formula that this mm-hmm. works. If it ain't broken, don't try and fix it. And, you know, and I'm not saying those bands fall into that category, right. But it was much more prevalent once you had bands that were selling 1 million, 5 million, 10 million records. You know, the label especially, they don't want you to get out of that formula. Yeah. This works. Stay there. You know what I mean? And I'm just not into that.
Yeah, I hear you. There's two tracks on the album that you had released previously over the past few years. How much of this album was written for the recording session and how much was just riffs or lyrics or different ideas that you had accumulated over the years?
There was ideas there that, you know, I had worked with Marty on, and we just kind of, like, I started working on them. And, you know, it's funny, during COVID, I told Marty I want to do a record. And, you know, he's like, ah, dude, you know, nobody's doing records anymore, bro. Like, they're doing the records, but this is how they're doing it now. Like, you put out a single, finish one song, you put it out, let it sit for a minute while you're working on the rest of the record, and you just kind of release singles. I got to be honest with you, though, I'm not the most computer literate person.
Right.
I can't even spell algorithm, let alone tell you what the fuck it is.
Right.
So, you know, and like, all these people are giving me advice like, oh, dude, when you put your song out, you need to hashtag all the bands that it sounds like, so it goes into there. And I'm like, A, I don't want to ride anybody else's coattails.
Mm-hmm.
And B, I'm not understanding any of this. So I had started working on Casabella, Your Own Worst Enemy. But then I was going, I don't understand this. So I kind of put the brakes on. I just kept writing. And then I got offered to come back to the Daisies.
Mm-hmm.
And I just jumped in with both feet with that. Like, we did a best of tour right when I went back. I was actually on tour with Winger and Tom Kiefer and myself doing acoustic shows. And then I jumped right into that. And we toured for the better part of, 6-8 months. And then we got into the studio and did Light 'Em Up and the blues record a couple years ago and toured on that. And so last year I got offered by Frontiers, like, hey, do you want to do a record? And I was like, yeah, okay. I'll let these guys figure out this whole algorithm hashtagging. Like, they got people that do this shit for a living.
Right.
I'll just do the record. So Marty and I, just as soon as the Dead Daisies tour was finished, we kind of just got to work. And I would honestly say there was maybe only three songs that I had that were kind of done.
Okay.
And that was Casabella, Your Own Worst Enemy, and Love That'll Never Be.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest, Marty and I just got to work on and started writing and putting shit together. So majority of the record's kind of new.
Okay.
I've literally got probably another 40 or 50 ideas on my phone that Marty and I haven't even looked at yet. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I was going to ask how important Marty was to the entire process.
You know what? I've known Marty since I was in the Scream.
Okay.
And I've watched his growth from, you know, being a guy in a band to realizing that, oh, this Pro Tools thing this thing's going to blow up. Mm-hmm. And Marty got a hold of it. And then he did the Brother Kane record. And then the Brother Kane led to him doing Aerosmith. And then, you know, that led to whatever. So I've watched Marty grow. And then I suggested Marty for the Daisies when we were doing the Make Some Noise record. And Marty, for whatever reasons, I don't know if it's because we know each other. Marty and I ride motorcycles a lot together. But he gets me. He knows what I'm about. He knows when to push. He knows when to let off. And I think he's, from a writer's point of view, he's one of the most talented people I've ever met, on top of being a great producer. So I just love working with the dude. And I hope that this is something that, because I believe, this is just me rambling, so I apologize.
No, that's fine.
But when you look at the old Aerosmith records, all those classic records they did with Jack Douglas, mm-hmm. or you look at all the great records Queen did with Roy Thomas Baker, or right. the Beatles with George Martin. Like, to me, those guys were a part of the unit. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? They understood how to make that unit work. Right. And that's the kind of relationship I want with Marty. Like, I would love to be able to sit here 5 records from now and go, yeah, man, me and Marty were clicking on all cylinders. You know what I mean? Have it be that Bernie Taupin, Elton John relationship that lasts 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, so I just love working with the guy. You know what I mean? I think he's incredibly talented. And that's my 2 cents, and I'm sticking to it. Whatever.
Yeah, that's something that we've discussed on my show with various bands, how they kind of hit a sweet spot with a specific producer who just knows what the band needs, knows when to cut them off, knows when to reshape certain things in their music, get the right sound so that you get timeless music out of them. So I get exactly what you're saying. And that's the thing. I mean, I think if you listen to your album, you don't get the feeling that whether it was Pro Tools or not, whether you're playing to a click or not, it's almost like the album could have come out today, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30. So it's timeless music at the end of it.
And that's all I've ever really wanted. You know, I mean, listen, trust me, I've got some songs from my past mm-hmm. that, you know, I put on and I just sit there and go, oh my God, dude, what the fuck was I thinking when I wrote these lyrics? They're just so caveman. Right. You know, and we've all got a few of those in our catalog, but, you know, ultimately Marty just sat with me and he goes, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, I want to go back to the 60s and 70s kind of a vibe. And I want to do a record where it's the whole record is the statement, not a song mm-hmm. or two.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he goes, okay. And I go, no categories, no boxes. And Marty understood exactly what I was saying. And mm-hmm. it was great because Marty just went on tour with me as well, playing guitar with me. And, you know, he just gave me a hug and he's like, dude, we nailed it with this record. And I'm like, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that's so cool. you've touched upon various other bands that you've been in, Motley Crue, Dead Daisies. You've had to step into certain situations where other people would probably cower from them. I mean, even with the Dead Daisies, when you came back, you were coming back for Glenn Hughes. How fearless do you have to be walking into some of these situations to say, you know what, fuck it, I'm John Corabi and this is me?
I got to be honest with you. When I went back to the Daisies, I was like, oh shit, here we go again. I hope the fans, appreciate what I bring to the table. Not even taking into consideration that Glenn was filling in for me.
Right.
I was more into the, oh great, now I'm filling in for Glenn.
Right.
Are these fans going to accept it again? So there's a bit of insecurity on my part about mm-hmm. that kind of shit. But then I had to kind of remind myself that, wait, hold on a minute. Like I was there first, you know what I mean? I did 4 or 5 records. So, but it was a little tedious going back. You know what I mean? I still worry about shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever. So, but I honestly, I've been offered other gigs as well. Like I got offered the Rat gig, right after, I think I was still in union.
Okay.
And they're like, hey dude, Steven left. You want to sing? Nope. No. And then somebody mentioned, oh man, you should try out for STP. I'm like, nope. No. These singers are Scott Weiland, Stephen Piercy, love him or hate him, whatever. They've got an iconic voice, you know, and I don't want anything to do with it. Even the Daisies, my first go around, it's like I didn't know anything about John Stevens, their mm-hmm. first singer. And then I started reading up on the guy and I'm like, wait, this guy was in excess. So I was a bit nervous about that too.
Right.
But they kind of worked it out where it's like, I wasn't necessarily joining the band. I went and I just did some shows with them in Cuba and I just got along with everybody really well. So it kind of eased my nerves a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, hey, do you want to do a record with us? And I was like, yeah, okay, sure. Whatever. I didn't think about it. But, it is a bit weird, man, stepping into someone else's spotlight. You know what I mean?
Right.
Regardless.
And I'm sure with what you're saying, some of the bands that you chose not to join, the experience that you had previous to that probably helped you out with that type of a decision as well.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, listen, dude, like I've been saying it for 30 years. It was like, I found out very quickly, the band was like, hey, dude, you're the new singer. It's like, awesome, great. Which I honestly, it hit me like broadside because I wasn't expecting to be the new lead singer for Motley Crue.
Mm.
But I mean, right out of the gate, I started to realize that the band was the only ones that really appreciated me being involved. Right. I know their manager wasn't happy. The lawyers weren't happy. The accountant wasn't happy. And the record label that just gave them $25 million definitely wasn't happy that I was involved. So I was swimming upstream from like, I won't even say day one. I'll say day three, day five.
Okay.
Once, you know what I mean? Once it got out that, oh, this is the guy that's going to replace the other guy. And I'm like, fuck. So I didn't really like being in that position. I like the position I'm in right now. I'm doing a solo record and I get to write my own path.
Gotcha.
And this is probably the first time in my entire career where I've gotten to write my own path, whether it's even with the songs. Normally when you're in a band situation, there's always that give and take. You're married to the other three guys in the band, so you're trying to keep everybody happy, but get your point across, you know, so, you know, you can come up with a finished song, which I've done in the past. And then inevitably the guitar player will come up and say, ah, man, I don't really like soloing in the key of B flat.
Okay.
Can we change this part? Okay. You know, and then, or the drummer's like, eh, I don't really like that beat that you're doing. I would have done it like this. Okay. So you're always compromising. And this was my first real, even though Marty was as involved as he was, mm-hmm. he always kind of prefaced everything with, hey, dude, it's your name on the record, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of charting my own path right now, really late in the game.
Yeah, that's fine. Last few questions here. There was so much talk. I mean, it was in the dirt and everything that for a split second, they had tried to have you and Vince and Motley Crue at the same time. But my question is, was there ever a shot of you and Glenn being in Dead Daisies at the same time?
No. I left at the end of 2018, and it took them a while to figure out who they were going to get.
Okay.
You know, and I had kind of made my choice, like I'm going to go do shows on my own and spend some time with my family. And, you know, and then COVID hit mm-hmm. in early 20. So there was no real talk about the two of us playing together. And it's got nothing to do with me or Glenn. Like I love Glenn. I met Glenn when I was doing the Motley record. He sang Misunderstood with me right. on the Motley record. So I've known Glenn for a very, very long time. He's always been great to me. Even when he was in the Daisies and I was out, like we were texting each other via Instagram and other shit. And then when I heard the record, I congratulated him and he was like, but, and anytime I release a new song, he's like thumbs up, gives it a heart, you know? And so we're good. You know, it's just, you know, it's never really truly been discussed. You know what I mean?
Okay. Where should people go to pick the album up and ensure that the most amount of money gets back into your pockets?
Well, that's kind of a, you know, honestly, right now it's pre-order. The album isn't even out yet. It doesn't right. come out till April 24th. Mm-hmm. But they can go to johncarabi.com. And there's a thing there where you can order the record. There's all these little weird bundles and they're doing CDs and vinyl and all that shit, t-shirts. And, you know, they can purchase stuff through there.
Okay.
You know, it is what it is. It's, you know, there's record labels and different things like that involved. So who knows about if I'll ever see any money from it, because none of my other records I do, it's hilarious.
Okay. And where can people go to keep up with all things John Carabi? Your website, is there any social media that they can follow you on?
There's John Carabi Official on Facebook, John Carabi Official on Instagram. Unfortunately, I haven't convinced Instagram and Facebook that I need the blue dot. They keep telling me that I keep writing in with my ID and telling them that I'm John Carabi, and for some reason they don't believe it. But they can also go to johncarabi.com, and there's tour dates, videos, everything is there, merch, everything. So
awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for all your time today. And it's been a lot of fun talking to you.
Thank you, buddy. And keep waving the flag, pal.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Signals from Mars podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.